Right. A little bit this afternoon before we came to church, one of my kids asked me, they said, "Are you going to be as short as Pastor Micah?" So I said, "I don't know." But one thing I can tell you is I don't have like a ham sandwich under here to eat. I don't have any kind of chicken or anything. So, although I can tell you there is a piece of chicken right here right now that I found. So, all right, let's go ahead and let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's go open to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. And we'll start here at verse 35. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 35. It says, "And it came to pass that as he," it's Jesus, "was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Let's go and open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the privilege to come here before you, and Lord, come before your word and what you have for us tonight. Again, there's not one of us here that's not here by divine appointment. Lord, there's something that you have for us, Lord, from this service. Through the singing, the prayer that has already been prayed, Lord, through your word that's preached. Lord, I pray that you'd work in all of our hearts as we look to your word. And Lord, we're reminded of what you have done for us in saving us. And Lord, we look where we've come from. So Lord, I pray again, work through your word tonight in all of our hearts. These things we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. At home, I have on our computer, and I have on like a jump drive that I have a collection of family pictures. Right around the time that our kids were born was when pictures, you could kind of see the evolution of the way pictures were being taken and the way pictures were being saved. When we first had Kendra, they were still using the disposable, cameras, what are the Fuji and the Kodak, and so a lot of her pictures, we have like actual physical pictures. But then as right around the first birthday and stuff, those kind of pictures just kind of stopped. And then all of a sudden the digital pictures started taking off. And so now as we look on my computer, there's all these pictures, thousands of pictures that have been taken. And sometimes it's kind of fun, to go back and you look over those pictures and you see where you've come from, where you have been. All the different memories. I tell my kids all the time, I said, my plan is with these pictures is that one day, when you get married, I'm going to be able to take all these pictures of you, and I'm going to hand them to you on whatever the technology is at that time, whether it's a flash drive, whether it's hologram, whatever it is, I'm going to hand it to you. I'm going to say, oh, here you go. This is your life. And so it's really a lot of fun sometimes to go and look back and see where we've come from to where we are now. In Scripture here, as we look at this, and we look at Jesus' different times when he healed people, and he healed people in miraculous ways, we see what he did for someone, and it's a picture of what he did for us when we got saved. And many times it's very good for us to go back and as we look at Scripture and we see these different accounts, to see in ourselves, where have we come from? What has God done for us? For any of us who, we've been saved for really almost any length of time, it's really common, it's very easy to let that grow cold. And we forget where is that we have come from? Where is that God has brought us from? And so what I want us to look at tonight, as we're going to look at a few of these different accounts when Christ came and he healed people in these miraculous ways. What I want us to remember as we encounter these accounts, as we look at them again tonight, never forget what Jesus did to save you. Never forget where you've come from, where God has brought you from. So let's look here at number one, first of all. Turn, if you will, let's go from Luke 18. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. What was the point of these various miracles that he did when Jesus healed people? Matthew chapter 9. The point of these miracles was not just healing for healing's sake. And as you go to Matthew chapter 9, Christ makes this very clear. If we begin at Matthew chapter 9, let's start here at verse 1. It says, and he entered, again Jesus, says he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, which this was Capernaum. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, now note what he says here, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't say right away, rise up and walk, you're healed. He first of all said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you ask, why? Well, it says, and behold, certain of the scribes and said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? Christ said, let me tell you the point of what I'm about to do. And then he goes on in verse 6 and he says this, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then he says, then he looks to the sick of the palsy. Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his own house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So Christ says here, if I can do this, if I can look at someone and say, arise, take up your bed and walk, if I have that power to do this, I have the power also to take care of your greatest need, which is your sin. Now, if you look a little further, if you go to verse 10, he again emphasizes this again in verse 10. It says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, and he goes back to this again, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous to but sinners to repentance. Christ said, the whole reason why I do these miracles, again, is to show I am here to take care of that greatest need, your sin. Now look, if you will, let's look at a few others here. Go over to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. Let's see where Christ again emphasizes this again. Mark chapter 5. We start at verse 25. Here Jesus is on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. But as he's going on the way, you get to verse 25 and it says this. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging, thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. So again, Christ saying, you have faith in me, you've trusted in me, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, sins have been forgiven. Now look, if you will, go over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Again, this another instance about blind Bartimaeus, but Mark chapter 10, look at verse 46. And again it says, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, and his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive thy sight. And Jesus said, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now look at the last one here. Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. The story of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17. Begin at verse 11. It says, And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So again, Christ does all these miracles, and the idea again is, if I can do this, if I can make the lame to walk again, if I can make the blind to see, if I can heal the lepers of their leprosy, and to me, we didn't touch on this miracle, I think the most fantastic miracle, again, when he goes and he goes to the grave and says, Lazarus, come forth. If I can do all these things, I can save you. I can heal you from your greatest need, which is your penalty of all your sin. So the first thing is this. Never forget what Jesus did to save you. Every healing account in Scripture should be a reminder of God's miraculous ability to save you from your sin and the deserved penalty. Now let's look at the second thing. Keep in mind all these miracles we've looked at so far. Blind Bartimaeus, the 10 lepers, even Lazarus. How did Jesus find you? How did Jesus find you? First of all, it was by divine appointment. It was by divine appointment. In all these instances, it says, you know, Jesus went to this place. Jesus went to another place. Jesus was in this house. Jesus was here. Everything, again, in Christ's life, and everything in our lives, but everything in Christ's life was by divine appointment. He was there for a specific reason, a specific purpose. It was a divine appointment. And he found us in a broken condition. It was a spiritual 911 call. A spiritual 911 call. Again, that paralyzed man in Capernaum, the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, the 10 lepers. He found us by divine appointment and in a spiritually broken condition. And really, if you look at all these miracles, When Jesus found us, we were blind, we were lame, we were begging, we were bleeding, we were infected with sin. That's how Christ found us. I have a great respect for people who are first responders or 911 responders. That's something I just cannot physically do. I get in a situation like that, you're going to find me laying out on the side of the road with everybody else. Okay? But those people, again, who can do it, they go into some of the most horrible and terrible situations. People broken, people hurting, people bleeding, people needing to be mended. Looking to help, looking to save them, looking to help them in their broken condition. And Christ did the same thing for us. Again, it was a spiritual 911 call. Never forget what Jesus did to save you. He came to help you specifically in your broken condition. Now let's look here at the third thing. It says, what was the point of Jesus' miracles? Again, to show, if I can do these things, I can save you. I can help you with your greatest need, which is your sin. How did Christ find us? He found us in a spiritually broken condition by divine appointment. But then what did he do for you? What did he do for us? Now go back to Luke chapter 18. Let's look a little closer at blind Bartimaeus. Luke chapter 18. Let's go back here to verse 35. Again, it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive thy sight. Again, what's that first thing that Jesus did for us? He listened to your cry for help and responded to your reach of faith. He listened to your cry of help and responded to your reach of faith. Again, for each of us, someone came. Someone entered into our life by God's divine appointment and shared with us the gospel. And God did a work in our hearts that we could not do. God did a work in our hearts, again, to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And did that spiritual work, again, to open our eyes to where we were. And then through that, with our eyes being opened, we responded to God, and we cried out to God, and we reached out to God in faith, and God responded to that cry of help and responded to our reach to him in faith. Not only did he respond to that cry for help and respond to our reach of faith, then the second thing is, he graciously forgave us of our sin and saved us from its penalty. In verse 42, it then says, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I've used this illustration before, but I think it's very helpful. For all of us, imagine this is our life. Imagine this is when we were born. Imagine my fingers being when we got saved, when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Imagine this is our death. When Christ came and he saved us, he didn't just save us from the sins that we committed from the time we were born to the time we got saved. The Bible says that he forgave us of all of this sin. Every sin from the moment that we are born till the moment that we die. Sins that have yet to be committed. God was able to look down the corridors of all time, Christ hanging on the cross. He knew of all our sin that we were going to commit. And when we came to God, and again, our eyes were opened, and again, we cried out to Him, and we reached out to Him in faith, God says, I will forgive all of this sin. And He comes to us, and again, He finds us in that spiritually broken condition, blind, begging, bleeding, crippled, maimed, infected. He comes to us, again, with all of our sin and all of our unloveliness, and Christ says, I will die on the cross for your sins, and I will pay for it all. Again, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He made it white as snow. And again, for a lot of us, as the years go on and the days go on, and again, they always say, you know, if you're pointing at someone, four fingers are pointing back at you. And I think over time, a lot of us let that grow cold. The fact that Jesus came and He found us by that divine appointment. We reached out to Him in faith and He saved us of all of that sin. Never forget what Christ has done for you. Just like with blind Bartimaeus, never forget what Christ has done for you. Turn over, if you will, now. Go back in the book of Luke to chapter 7. I want to give you an illustration, a biblical illustration, again, of someone who really grasped this idea of what Christ had done for them. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired Christ, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He was talking to himself, having a conversation with himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Jesus knew his thoughts. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So again, Christ again points this out in a very, very graphic illustration. Here's someone, Simon, here's someone who truly has had a work done in her heart. And that work done in her heart is now manifested in her life. She understands everything that's been forgiven. She understands the magnitude of her sin. And as a result of that, these are the actions that come out in her life. She has not forgotten where she came from. She has not forgotten what God has done for her. And again, I think for a lot of us, I think it, you know, ties in a little bit with what Pastor Micah was saying this morning. What's coming out in our life? What, you know, I was telling somebody this morning. We were talking about the whole subject of faith and works. Faith and works. There are some people that believe, you know, if we were to use this doorway over here, some people believe that we do the good works, you know, let's say, you know, coming inside this auditorium, this is the presence of God or relationship with God. Some people believe that they do the good works in order to get a relationship with God. But if you look biblically and you look at what Scripture says, again, we don't do the good works in order to get saved. We do the good works because we're already saved. If we've truly trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and we truly have a relationship with God, again, those works will manifest themselves out in our life. Because again, we'll understand, what is it that God has done for us? We won't forget where we've come from, what God has saved us from. And the good works manifest themselves out in our life. Just like with this lady here. Again, kissing of Christ's feet, washing his feet with the tears, wiping them with the hairs of her head, perfume on his feet. God, I love you for what you have done for me, and because of that, this is what I do for you. Not because I have to, but because I love you. And again, all those things that we do, again, coming to church, reading our Bible, praying, giving of tithes and offerings. We do those things then because we love Christ, and this is what we want to do as an expression of love to him. Let's turn over to one other passage of Scripture here before we close. Go over to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. Paul never got over the fact that he was saved. I've said that here before. Paul never got over the fact that he was saved. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, let's start here in verse 12. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief." Paul says, I remember where I was. I remember who I was. I remember how I thought about things. I remember what I did. And I remember, again, I remember all that sin that I committed against God. And I remember that day, again, on that Damascus road when Christ came to me. And my whole life was changed, and I truly trusted Christ as my Savior. He says, I remember that. He said, I've never gotten over that. How many of us here tonight, starting from here on out, how many of us have gotten over the fact that God, by divine appointment, entered into our lives, brought somebody into our lives, either through a Bible club or NBT or Bible school or somebody at work, or someone sitting across your kitchen table, or somebody knocking on your door? How many of us have gotten over the fact that God, by divine appointment, entered into your life through somebody, and somebody brought you the gospel, your eyes were open, God made that spiritual 911 call, and came to you in your broken condition and opened your eyes, and God responded to your reach and your call and your cry out in faith, and God saved you, and God forgave you of all of your sin. How many of us have gotten over that? God says, don't get over that. Don't get over that. Be like that woman who understood fully how much had been forgiven. And for all of us, we need to show God that love, that appreciation, that thanksgiving through what comes out in our life, because we remember where we've come from, what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, something that we cannot do in and of ourselves. God says, remember where you've come from. Never forget what Jesus did to save you. Let's close with a word of prayer.